from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC. We your number one spot.
What's good, baby? What's good, baby? Come on in, man, and hang out a while. We are here with you for the next 4 hours. It is the Tuesday, August 27th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Danny Borling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we in here.
I was gonna say it's not ready, but we can say it either way.
Yeah.
And we are brought to you from where?
The worst slums of Sacramento.
That's an all-timer.
I gotta get that hockey.
That's an all-timer, man.
Can we get that hockey put in? The slums of Sacramento.
Is that the first time Sacramento's ever been mentioned on WWE programming? It may be.
Well, no, The Rock mentioned it once.
Oh, no, The Rock. How can I forget?
It might be the first time Sacramento was mentioned while not being in Sacramento.
There you go.
I should cut the clip. I was listening to one of Bruce Pritchard's podcasts the other day where they were talking about Milkomania, the Kurt Angle milk truck. And, you know, Conrad brings it in like, yeah, that Monday Night Raw was at, the Arco Arena in Sacramento, California. And Bruce spends the next 5 to 6 minutes talking about how amazing that arena was, how loud it was, the reason the sound worked the way that they did, how great it was lit for television. And I think he said if we could only do WWE television out of three buildings, it would be the Rosemont Horizon, the Market Square Arena, where the main event was shot in Indianapolis, and Arco Arena.
They loved Arco
Arena. The other guy who loved it was Dick Ebersol. Of NBC. Like, he loved Arco Arena.
I don't know. They definitely have other reasonings for it. But I used to always like the pictures and the lightings from the basketball games.
Yeah. I loved Arco and the Palace. The lighting at the Palace I just thought was incredible.
Which is not a coincidence because they were made around the same time together, right?
Yeah, it checks out.
I think Arco's 89. I think the Palace.
I was gonna say. Oh, okay. I thought it was 88. But yeah, great venues. Final cuts in the NFL will be going on over the course of the next 60 minutes. Not my favorite day. The main reason I don't like Hard Knocks. I love the draft. I love these young brothers seeing their dreams come true. And then to just have it kind of all snatched away from them in the final episode of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
That's tough. I feel for those guys, man. But as fans, people start clamoring. They do a lot of fantasy GMing. I was just talking to the insiders, particularly, Kyle Madsen, who's so in tune with the 49ers stuff. He mentioned Braden Willis getting cut, and he was a little surprised by that. You saying?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, a little bit for sure. I know it's a numbers game. I think the 49ers have a lot more depth and talent than maybe others think, and that's going to lead to a guy like Braden Willis getting cut. Like, you got to get down to a certain number, and there's going to be not everybody that gets cut from the 49ers is going to be a good ball player, but there's going to be a couple guys that are pretty good that get cut, surprisingly, and he's one of those guys for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that there'll be a ton more surprises over the course of the next 55 minutes or so, but surprise or not, we'll certainly pass it along to you as the day progresses, whether it's a surprise with the San Francisco 49ers or a surprise with any other team in the National Football League. You're probably going to see a lot of deals be constructed over the course of the next few hours as well, as people try to realize that maybe their depth chart at a position is a little bit stronger than they imagined and try to work out deals to get a little stronger in depth chart positions that might be a little weaker than they imagined. How the 49ers approach all of this, who knows? The big story with them is still the two holdouts and Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. But time is ticking, man. The opening night game against the Green Bay Packers isn't too far away.
The Jets.
The New York Jets. Sorry,
the Green Bay
Aaron Rodgers.
Used to play.
He at the gate.
You know, the other thing that, and I don't know how this happened, but, you know, I think about Braden Willis, and they had that weird situation with Logan Thomas, how they cut him two weeks ago or whatever, re-signed him a couple days later, and now you cut two tight ends. So that means Logan Thomas looks like he's going to be staying on the squad unless I miss something.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. But, you know, the you talk about Trent Williams, and, you know, there's more reports coming out. You know, Josina Anderson talking about he's taking a hard line in the sand with his contract demands.
But do we know what that is?
I
assumed – a month ago, I knew what it was, but do we have any definitive?
I thought I saw where he just simply wants to be the highest paid left tackle in the game, wants the money guaranteed. Could be wrong, but that's what I thought I saw from him.
I could be wrong as well. His original contract was that, yeah? His original contracts
I
know it's a played out term, and I'm sorry. Reset the market a little bit at that position, no?
Yeah, I thought it did. I thought he was the top guy, and I don't know if a player or two here or there is.
Yeah, I think they have, and the weird thing is, and I may have misread this. I was looking at it. It was unrelated to Trent Williams, specifically, but Trent Williams was mentioned in it that there could be like a plus. I think maybe a plus to 7 or 8 million in that number now, that left tackle number, league wide. Mm-hmm. It's like plus 7 or 8 million since Trent signed that. Yeah. So that, though, is a little bit different than what I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought you've essentially signed the deal. The guarantee is run out. Just guarantee the money. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking you essentially did this with a really, I think, modest raise, so to speak, for Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Why would it be so difficult to do this with Trent Williams? And the answer may lie in those dollar figures that we just mentioned. If that position group has changed, I'd argue he's still the best left tackle in the game. Mm-hmm. If not, you're having a conversation with him and maybe one or two other people.
Right.
But that would explain a lot if it's not just a, hey, guarantee me this. It's more of a complete
money.
It's a complete restructure.
Yeah. And it's, man, that's a lot, man. You got 3 years left on your deal. You can't control, or maybe he's attempting to. Maybe he believes he can't control the market after you signed.
In his defense, but it's what happened to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill signed in the position group, he signed a bad contract. Mm-hmm. He was well paid. He's far from poor. But for what he is, specifically to that football team, but what he is in the league, he signed a bad contract. And Miami, good for Dolphins fans and everybody involved, they retooled that this year when they didn't have to.
Yeah.
And to have a your best player on the likely your best player on the field be happy with his contract status, be wide receiver one being paid more than wide receiver number two, it probably goes a long way for Tyreek. But it was another situation, as you know, the market is fluid, and he felt good about something at the time, even though we saw how much of it was fake in that final year, that $45 million. They got it redone. I guess that's Trent looking at it like, this is my last contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's his last trip to the negotiating table.
Yeah.
So he wants to get everything that he can out of it. But and like I said, I'm not here to judge these guys for doing that. That if that's
give
what's important to them, then
buy to me,
get your money.
And I realize this is a lot easier said than done because I don't know the status of the 49ers books. Given the Aaron Donald deal for three more years, if you play, this is what you make. Mm-hmm. The end. Mm-hmm. If you retire, you retire.
Right.
But like, I don't know that there's not a to me. There's not a football world that exists where Trent Williams isn't worth that. And I'm not talking about the dollar figure, by the right. way. I don't remember what his dollar figure, I think, was in the range of like 33, 34 something million dollars.
But just
I'm talking about the
game.
Yeah, I'm talking about you're essentially guaranteed, your contract is guaranteed until you retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Aaron Donald left a year.
Yeah, I think he did too.
Yeah, he signed three, played two, and was like, okay, I'm done. That one was that year was wiped out.
Aaron Donald out there beating LeSean McCoy in races. Did you see that?
I did.
I'm glad he's gone.
I did.
We might be able to beat LeSean McCoy in a race, to be honest.
I'm glad Aaron Donald's gone.
He was.
Dude, that guy, he's crazy.
Did you see the video of Dalvin Cook working out?
No.
Oh, somebody posted a picture of Jerry Rice with the Seahawks and Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals and said that'll be Zeke and Dalvin Cook this year.
Oh man,
that's cold game.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you think Trent Williams plays week one?
I'm going to answer that in just a minute. And we're going to talk a little bit about Mike McCarthy said something regarding CeeDee Lamb that I thought was interesting.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought it was interesting because we talked about it yesterday as it pertains to Brandon Ayuk and I guess in a roundabout way to Trent Williams. So we can tie this all together. The countdown to football is on. We're thrilled you're here with us. Shout out to the Chatty House brought to you by Matthews Mattress. Head over to MatthewsMattress.com. Find one of the 10 locations nearest you. The Labor Day sales event is jumping off right now. Do not miss out on your opportunity to grab a brand new mattress, no matter what your favorite brand is, whether it's a Matthews mattress, whether it's a Beauty Rest Black, whether it's an adjustable headboard or not, it needs to be adjustable headboard. It's life changing. You get tons of free stuff, pillows, all sorts of different things. And most of all, most importantly, Casey, right now, through this Labor Day sale, you can enjoy 60-month special financing with zero interest and no money down on approved credit with equal monthly payments required. Again, MatthewsMattress.com, 10 locations. Find the one nearest you. We'll come back. We're just getting started. It's Thielen and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. My man, Michigan Wolverines, asking, D'Lo, have you thought about doing a half or full marathon? I've actually done 6 marathons, but I've done one half. That was one of my favorite gimmicks that I did. I did the Goofy Challenge.
Uh-huh.
I ran a half marathon on a Saturday and a full marathon on a Sunday at Disney World. That was not as much fun as I expected, because there's, to get to 26 miles, there's a lot of parts of Disney World that are really gross.
Wait, what?
Like, you run, what's it called? What's
the, running through the bathroom?
Animal Kingdom? Yeah, well, yes, except it's the bathroom for the elephants. You run behind Animal Kingdom during the run, and it is quite a disgusting experience. So it fit, you know, oh, Disney World, this is going to be the most amazing thing. And you're running in this Cinderella, there's all, there's Mickey Mouse, it's all, what does that smell? Oh my God, we're behind Animal Kingdom. But, Michigan, I have thought about running another marathon. I've never done the CIM. I really want to do it. I've started hitting the road lately. That's why I've partnered with MapTrition, MapTrition.com. Use the promo code DLO1320, and I've been told, use that promo code. It's not just 10% you get off anymore, but we've got some things getting added in there just for fun, including multivitamins going out for free.
Nice.
Some really, really great stuff is on the way. They also have meal planning. If you're struggling with how to eat, the timing of eating, the types of stuff that you need to eat, MapTrition.com and Map Training can help you with that. Whatever types of supplements you're looking for to help you through your day, to help you through your workout, or just to help you through life, MapTrition.com has them. Strength enhancers, fat burners, cravings crushers, greens, sleep enhancers, multivitamins, protein shakes, all of that stuff, pre-workouts, all day BCAAs, MapTrition.com. Again, use the promo code DLO1320. In Michigan, I'll continue to update you. I'll send you a fax and let you know how my
now he's getting the distance from D-Lo.
Yeah, wow, I was uncalled for right there.
Well, to be fair, I actually stole the joke from Michigan himself, who asked you to fax him the sign-in sheet for the college football.
It's doing a lot. The Oh, man. Michigan, you're not helping your case there.
Well, they do it was like Michigan old, mails in his picks, like old school fantasy football.
Jesse, have you ever used a fax machine?
Yes, I've used a fax machine.
You have?
Yes. Yeah, stop.
You're a liar.
No, stop. No.
Wait, what did you use a fax machine for?
I don't remember. I've used a fax machine,
though.
You did
not.
Yeah, you have to send stuff to school, or they send stuff to you. Like in elementary school. No.
Would you have a fax machine at home?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
It was one of those like printers and fax machines all in one. It's like the shampoo and body wash all in one.
Shampoo and body wash.
Okay. Had that for the fax and the printer and the copier.
No. Please tell me you didn't use that.
I'm not. I was just making a joke.
Mr. Tapia, is this true? Has Jesse ever used the fax machine?
I'm not buying it.
I'm not either.
I'm not buying it. The fax machine.
I'm not like that young. Like, I'm 30. I'm like you guys. Come on.
You're not 30.
He's not 30. He is.
I'm closer
older
to 30. I'm like 28.
Yeah, that's not 30. Yeah.
I'm Jen. Me and Kenny are millennials,
well,
dude. Like me and Kenny.
You were born. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Okay. Okay.
That's a good point.
I'm not going to ask if you ever used the typewriter or anything.
Have you ever used the typewriter?
Man. Nah.
I have. I've used the typewriter. Not the Murder, She Wrote typewriter, but I've used the typewriter. Remember when they used to make them a little more sleek and you thought you were really doing something?
Have you ever heard of Murder, She Wrote?
Yes, but only because of like jokes and movies and stuff
Okay. All right. Murder, She Wrote. That's a wild reference 22 minutes into the show. My goodness.
The fax machine at my house used to be my line. I'd get on the phone. I'd give all the honeys that number. You know what I'm saying? I think it was 428-2911. I think that's what it was.
See, I don't understand that. You're having people call your fax?
Yeah, you call the phone. It works as a phone. Simple as day. Just talk to all the honeys on there.
You want to explain this one? Because you seem confused too.
I don't think it does. The fax machine doesn't work as a phone.
Well, I could tell you from experience, yes, that's where I would talk to all the honeys.
Are you sure it just wasn't another phone line?
I mean, it worked as that. So
his family was giving the unplugged controller.
I had a phone. I had a phone
in my room. It's your own phone line.
I had a phone in my room that I would give them the fax machine number. They would call, pick up, boom, boom, boom. Now, I don't know how if it was a splitter that was needed or whatever the case may be. But my phone was the same as the fax machine line. And then sometimes, like before I got my own phone, I would talk on the fax machine. How number you talk on that phone?
I just... All right.
Good time.
You must have had the high-end. Well, yeah, I guess that checks out. You probably had a high-end fax machine.
No, we had a regular
like
fax
a rich
machine.
People fax machine.
We were right there in a duplex in Greenhaven. There ain't nothing going on.
You own the duplex in Greenhaven.
No.
If someone tried to call the fax machine, you get that.
Well, no. So what I think did happen is if I didn't pick up on the first ring, then they would get that.
Oh, okay.
So if I was, hey, hit me up, and I knew, like, let me get it on the first ring, it would work as a regular phone.
Did you ever?
But if I didn't, you would get all that other stuff.
Did you ever do the gimmick? Because, like, back in, you used to have to hang phones up.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever do the gimmick where, like, you were waiting for a call, and you'd pick up the phone just to make sure the dial tone was there and then put it down? Like, because you were checking to see if something was wrong with your phone? Did you used to do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can't even do that no more.
It'd be like Dame Lillard courtside, but me and the homies would be at the house, and you know if he was talking to a girl or something like that. Jesse, what you know about picking up the other phone and either all three of you guys talking or you eavesdropping on the conversation? You don't know about that, Jesse. You don't know about that.
Y'all talk about like it was the good old days, and this sounds like such a hassle, bro.
No, it was the good old days. I don't know if you guys saw it. I retweeted it last week. Somebody had taken like a video camcorder, or they had found footage of 1996, and it was nothing special. It was just them like driving around whatever city they were in, the gas station, Blockbuster Video, the grocery store, the neighborhood. It looked like the perfect time. 1996 looked like, I think I tweeted, I said, life was good.
I'm not going to lie, bro. I watched that same video. I was like, we got gas stations. We got theaters, too. I'm not really sure what the difference is here.
It just looked like, the vibes. Life was good.
There was no social media. That's why.
That has a lot to
you
do
with it. You wasn't doing everything, trying to take a picture of yourself. You weren't outside Blockbuster like, hey, throwing up the peace sign, throwing up fake gang signs. Like, yeah, you wasn't doing none of that.
Life was good. 94 to 99.
Blockbuster was video. Awesome.
Hey, even if you watch like the, hear me out when I say this. Even if you watch the Freaknik documentary.
Mm-hmm.
The early years of Freaknik, like the mid to early 90s, it wasn't like that, right? It was just like, they was just out there. Life was good. Life was good.
Steven said Kenny wants to make America great again.
Whoa, chill.
You heard it here first, folks. Wow.
We ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. No,
KC's trying to take our technology away.
You got a red hat on today?
Oh, don't do that. Comedy. Don't do that. It's a Niners hat. Don't
bring it back.
Radio doesn't know that. As far as radio's concerned, it's a red hat.
It's a Niners hat. Come on, man.
AOL days. The Montreal screw job hadn't happened yet. Everything was fine.
96, 97 was great. Life was good. Life was good.
Oh, man. Cutting Pete. If you rented a movie and had to rewind the VHS, killed the vibes right off the top. They used to fine you for like $2 if you didn't rewind the movie. Have you ever been into a Blockbuster video?
Yes, I've been to Blockbuster.
Okay,
like, I don't know why.
That started phasing out towards the end. Huh?
Why would you ever be in a Blockbuster?
Well, that was like I said, I was a kid once, like early 2000s. Oh, Hollywood Video there. Does that help?
Hollywood Video.
We got Hollywood. We used to go to Hollywood Video, not Blockbuster.
But the funny thing is the same thing.
That was the same. But
it was the same exact thing, but we thought it was a bigger deal than it was.
It felt like it was big time. They put one on Fulham Road right next to that Bel Air Rams. You know what I'm talking about. I was like, oh, snap. We going to Hollywood now. Nah, we ain't doing that Blockbuster. We going to Hollywood.
You see, we already lived through the Redbox era too. Like that's done and over with. I don't think those work anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't a Redbox guy.
So you know what? I never did. I never did Netflix prior to the app.
Oh, like
I never like
it in the mail.
We did. I remember they used to come in the mail or whatever.
I never did that before.
I didn't do that either.
And I never got a movie out of the grocery store. I never did that.
Like you mean like Redbox?
I never did that either.
Me neither. Good times.
You know what's crazy is like now, like this younger generation, they don't know what like stuff like speed dial was and stuff like that.
Oh, speed
dial. Legit. I was talking to the person that watches our dogs. Like, yeah, do you know what speed dial was? Like, no, what is that? It's like you literally hit a number.
Number one.
Like,
yeah.
That sounds
number
insane.
Two. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
We were so happy.
That was like your top eight on MySpace prior to your top eight on MySpace.
Did you hear what they're doing on, or they're potentially doing on Instagram?
No, I don't think so.
They're talking about bringing back music for your profile.
For your page? Oh, Lord. If they bring back music, we need to bring back voicemails. We need to bring back the 90s voicemail leaving.
Hey, man. I'm going to call you and leave a voicemail today.
So what's great is you still don't have to listen to the voicemail on your iPhone because it transcribes it for you. And so you could just look and see, oh, it's so-and-so. All right, I'll call them.
You'll get the gist of it because it's either a scam or it's like, oh, yeah, now I know what this is about. I'll call this person back.
Yeah.
I'll call them back.
Yeah.
Good times.
That's awesome. Bring back the top eight on Instagram. Like, who are your closest friends on Instagram? That'll start fights.
Well, I think I opted out. I was like, man, look, I like everybody.
Well, you opted out on MySpace?
No, on the top five or whatever.
They don't have that on Instagram, do
no,
they?
No, I was saying on MySpace.
Oh.
I was like, man, I ain't putting no top five.
Oh, okay.
See, I missed out on all that. My first social media was Twitter. I didn't have MySpace or none of that. See, just straight into the fire.
Yeah, see, you missed out, though. I was like, no top five. Just tell me when to go being played when you come to my page. And Allen Iverson in the background.
Boy, we was all trying to learn coding back in the day. How could I get this music video onto my site? Oh, man. Yeah. That's jumping. All right. In any event, final rosters due by 1 o'clock, next 30 minutes, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mike McCarthy said something interesting yesterday after the Cowboys signed CeeDee Lamb. At least I thought it was interesting in context of the conversation we were having yesterday. He said the Cowboys will be, quote, smart with CeeDee Lamb's return to practice. And I read through what he said a little bit, and I think I got the gist of what he was saying. It was a little bit different than what I was talking about. The Cowboys have three practices left this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then they'll be on in full 100% prep for week one. But he was talking about, he being Mike McCarthy, he was talking about what phenomenal shape CeeDee Lamb is in. He's like, he's seen CeeDee work. He knows how hard he's working. But we talked about this yesterday with Ayuk. Like, there's football speed is different. Mm-hmm. Football movements are different. All of that stuff is different. And Mike McCarthy said, we are going to be very aware of what CeeDee Lamb is doing out there because he's going to be so excited that this is behind him. He's going to be so excited that this deal is done. He's going to be so excited, you know, to be a Cowboy moving forward, be one of the top receivers, that he might try to move at paces he doesn't need to be moving at right now. So we need to be careful about how we ramp him up to game speed. Mm-hmm. His speed in terms of a workout is untouchable. His speed in terms of game speed hasn't been touched yet. Right. And we have to be very, very careful about what he's doing during practice so he doesn't get out there super amped up day one and winds up putting himself in a difficult position. So we've got plenty of time to do that, mm-hmm. but we're going to be aware of it.
It makes sense.
And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense for sure. I think with all these guys, CD and Jamar's back in practice or Brandon Ayuk or whatever, I definitely think they're going to be playing. And CD's he's got time. He's definitely going to be playing. But I'm thinking like Ayuk, if he were to sign next week or something like that, definitely should be playing week one. But like you like to say, ramp up the process. You know what I mean? Like, don't come out, you know, full go. Hey, you know, you're playing 65 snaps or something like that, mm-hmm. and running full speed every time. You know, put them on a snap count. You know, and just work them up into that game shape that usually you would hope training camp would do. But,
yeah,
you know,
I wouldn't even line anyone up across from him this week. Mm. Like, he just hypothetically, I assume he's practicing today. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't even line anyone across from him. Because you're lining someone up from across from him, his instincts, I'm going to beat him.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat him. Point. Like, good just point. Let him go out there and run with Dak.
Yeah.
Let him go out there and connect. Let them run routes. Let them do all of that stuff. Then next week, you know, maybe then you start, hey, let's put someone across from you, see what this looks like. Mm-hmm. And yeah. then you work it into the scout and you coach and you do the different things that you do. But this was all a version of the conversation we were having about Brandon Ayuk yesterday, and it's the concerns I have about Brandon Ayuk. A little less about Trent Williams, but I do have the same exact concerns about Trent Williams as well.
Yeah.
I really want these deals to get done, just as, you know, I know, just because I know a lot of 49ers fans listen to this, and I love Trent Williams. I like Brandon Ayuk a lot, too. I think Trent Williams is the key to everything working. I know Christian McCaffrey might be the best player on the field. I know Brock Purdy, you know, was moving his way up in terms of the top quarterbacks in the league. But to me, the guy that ties it all together right now is Trent Williams, and I just don't think you can afford to be without him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a very amateur opinion on the 49ers.
But it is what it is. You know what I mean? And I think, obviously, when he's there, like, they're just better, right? Like, they're better. They're one of the top teams. They got one of the best players in the game. But more than him being there, because I do feel like you can get by without him being there, it's a sign of the – talked about it yesterday. It's a sign of the vibes. It's a sign of the energy that's going through that stadium and those front offices and that locker room right now. And I'm more concerned or upset about that than I am him actually out there on the – or not being out there on the field. Like I said, I think they can figure it out, you know, enough without him on the field. But, you know, not only are we talking about the vibes, but we're talking about one of the captains, one of the leaders mm-hmm. on that team
mm-hmm.
not being in that locker room. And I just don't like the vibes, man.
I'm trying to ask this in Latin way. It was like Captain Obvious here, but how much different would this like all be if they had won the Super Bowl like last or even in 2019 or something? Are we dealing with like Trent Williams still and all this stuff?
It's a world of difference.
Well, for me, to a certain degree, none of it would matter.
Mm-hmm.
None of it would matter. You got the Super Bowl. I mean that both ways. None of it would matter in the respect of, hey, like, just give him what he wants, or they can sit out. I don't care.
Yeah,
like, we can play hardball in this situation. We've got the championship.
Yeah,
like, none of this would matter. Like, you the 49ers, they would be able to do whatever they wanted in that situation. But the fact that they weren't able to get the Super Bowl, it just makes everything that much more upsetting.
Are we, and Jesse brought this up earlier in our notes, are we maybe accelerating the demise of the 49ers a little faster than we need to? Because I asked you a question and then immediately kept talking. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were still explaining the question.
I think the idea of what Jesse just asked right there, would it be different if they won a Super Bowl last year, is it still feels like, I get, you know, maybe Trent Williams, no matter what happens over the course of the next, hopefully, hours, days, hopefully not weeks and months, but what happens moving forward, Trent Williams probably has a limited amount of time left on the football field. George Kittle probably has a limited amount of time left as a San Francisco 49er. And then you can pick apart different roster spots. But let's say this Brandon Ayuk thing gets worked out. See what Debo looks like. Christian McCaffrey, you know, that's always a fluid position that you got to keep your eye on. Brock Purdy. Point being, you still have, like, talent. Mm-hmm. And I think you can make a pretty fair argument. You still have really, like, high-end talent.
You got Bosa and Warner on the defense, too.
Yeah, and I think losing in the painful way in which the San Francisco 49ers have lost in the last handful of years is what has accelerated this process a little more in our mind than what actually might be facing the San Francisco 49ers roster in the years to come. Mm-hmm. It feels like, along with Kyle Shanahan, they're going to be a really talented team moving forward. And it just, because they've lost the Super Bowl, have we accelerated the process of what the demise of this football team might look like?
I definitely think so. I've looked at this 49ers team under the guidance of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, And they're going to be basically like the Steelers were. And I look at the Steelers, right? I look at the Mike Tomlin era. They win a Super Bowl beating the Cardinals. I think that was his Super Bowl. They lose a Super Bowl a couple years later to the Packers. And after that, they're always kind of around things, whether it's lose a wild card game, they lost in the conference finals, they lost in the divisional round, get to the wild card, whatever. Worst case scenario, that's who this, what this 49er franchise is going to be with those two running things. Worst case scenario. And what that means is you're gonna fluctuate from being the favorite to at the very least having a chance. And that's all you could really ask for. Now, this incarnation of the 49ers, the Kittles, the Trent Williams, those are really the two guys that I'm kind of looking at that might move on, maybe Debo or whatever. This won't be the same, but it could easily be a situation, and I think this is how this franchise is set up, where you go to the Super Bowl, you take a step back for a year, you regroup, and 2 years later, now you know who might be the best team in the league? And 49ers and all this other stuff. And the other big part of that, I talked about Kyle and John. I believe, not everybody's sold, but I believe you've got the quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's
I'm with you.
With those three linchpins in there, that's why their window as a franchise isn't closing anytime soon. Their window with this group, it's probably,
as we know it,
yeah, like it's probably got a year. This is it. This is the year, I think. But it'd be one of those things, like I said, oh man, you lose in a divisional round this year, take a, you know, maybe you're a wild card team the next year, then you regroup with the talent, and boom, you're right back there. You're right back there.
Yeah, I think we'll see their dominance drop off as far as like they've been NFC Championship or Super Bowl the last 4 years, it feels, unless they were just decimated by injuries and all that. Like, that'll fall off, but I feel like we'll be talking about them, like, where it's like other teams kind of reach their level now. It's like, oh, maybe the Rams can get them this year, or the Lions, or whoever. Because, I mean, looking at this team, the way they have it, it's almost kind of insane with all the Hall of Famers they got.
Yeah, and when I think about the guys who aren't going to be here, I mean, these are monumental guys or whatever the case may be, but it's still only like two or three guys. It's Kittle, Debo, Trent. Some of your most important guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you just replace them. Right. But Fred Warner's still there. Tre'Davious Ward's still there. Deamonte Lenore's probably still there. Hufanga may or may not be there, but it looked like you may have found his replacement with Jair Brown and Mustafa. Nick Bosa will still be there.
Samuel Womack will not be because he was just cut.
I think he was that 2022 draft we were talking about the other day. But, you know, you got that. If Ayuk is there, you got Ayuk. What Pershaw turns into? What Cowing turns into? You know, they're gonna replenish the talent for the most part, I think, from year to year.
It's just it's a fascinating conversation because with one more score in regulation, the San Francisco 49ers beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And you look at this roster, you look at Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy, even though he didn't play bad in the Super Bowl, I think a lot of questions about Brock Purdy are eliminated because he beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He beat Kansas City in the Super Bowl. He beat Andy Reid in the Super Bowl. And I think you're legitimately talking about, could this team build out and win a couple of Super Bowls over the next handful of years? Mm-hmm. That's the difference between winning and losing in the Super Bowl. Because they are lost, and now you're wondering if they can win one, period.
Right.
Versus if they had won, I absolutely believe the way this roster is made up, you would be asking questions if this team could win a couple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trista Crick's going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Trista Tuesday's in full effect. Trista the Tool Man Crick, I guess, if you've been following her work on Instagram. Jason Jones, the final hour of the show. Much more to talk about as the final roster is due. In 17 minutes across the National Football League, we'll talk. There were a lot of rankings going on across media websites in the last 24 hours, including ESPN ranking the top 100 players in the NFL. How many 49ers made the top 25 and which one? We took apart this list quite a bit. We'll share it with you when Dylan and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Stephen Brown is special.
Take a lap, Stephen Brown.
Stephen Brown is so special.
Fence him back. You know what? Just run the rest of class.
Zabo hit him with a nice job breaking kayfabe, bro. I love how we all talk in wrestling terms. Kenny and I had a meeting yesterday. Life is professional wrestling.
If y'all
realize, if y'all realized how much of life was a work, man, just an absolute work. I was talking to Paul earlier.
Shout out, Paul.
Paul is an interesting dude. Massive Raider fan. Oakland Raider fan, to be clear. But Paul Marshall, 98 Rock Morning Show. Paul says to me, yeah, because we were just talking about, like, we were talking about the Raiders. And then it evolved, like, yeah, these dudes are just, they're I mean, just how they, you know, they're so big. They hit each other like they're like, it's, the sport is crazy. Then he like randomly mentions like meeting Andre the Giant once. And then like just out of nowhere, he goes, yeah, I wrestled for Kowalski once.
What?
Like,
all right, Paul, we'll have you on Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Like, wait a minute. What? For those that don't know, Killer Kowalski, Walter Kowalski, was in like the Northeast, some part of like, Massachusetts, I think. He trained Triple H. He trained China. I think he trained like Perry Saturn. And he said he wrestled for Kowalski. Kowalski looked at him and said, I need baby faces. You're a heel. I'll call you back when I need heels. And then went into Aaron's office and left. I'm like, bro, I got a lot of unanswered questions, man. You can't just drop that one on me and leave.
So you was a wrestler, bro. You was a wrestler.
We're going to have to work that 98 Rock 1320 crossover episode at one point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, well, now that there's people over there that we like, we can bring in our man.
Specifically, there isn't one person there we don't like.
That's right. We got my man Paul. We got Mickey in the middays. Got our man Abe. Pocket watching champion of the world.
He's not the
We pocket. Could bring him in here. I don't know. Everybody saw him with the belt.
He stole it. Like, that's what happens sometimes. Like, when somebody gets beat up.
He was presented the belt.
And they put the belt up and they're not the champ.
I presented him the belt live in front of the entire audience.
Stop. You're the problem.
I'm Jack Tunney, pal. Gorilla
Mind. That means you're not even a real commissioner.
More
it's a work.
Same, more they stay the same. We keep putting Hulk Hogan over some for some reason.
That's what it is. And Hulk Hogan is officially done, by the way.
Come on, man.
He is done.
Yeah, man. It's dude, man.
I'm not taking the picture I have down, but he's...
Well, yeah, we got drops and stuff we still need to play, but...
Oh, yeah. No.
How the drops still, What are you doing with him?
No, that's still getting run.
Well...
It was Paul to Wilter Kowalski. What are you doing with him?
Hulk Hogan... can stay around like on the board and stuff, but Terry, what's his name?
Bollea.
He gotta go. He's masquerading as Hulk Hogan. You're not the real Hulk Hogan, brother.
Well, we'll never find out because the biopic was canceled after being in development for like 5 years, 6 years.
Hulk Hogan just creative control. It's not going to work for me, brother.
They just scrapped it and said, "Forget it."
I can understand if it is, but the Vince thing is gone.
You know, I don't know.
I ain't gonna lie. I thought I heard
that Netflix was going forward with it, but a much different version. But that's a little tough to believe. You're gonna do that on the figurative eve. Yeah. Of bringing, I know he's not with the WWE anymore,
right, but, you don't
but he's always synonymous with the WWE. That would be a tough place to put your partner in because you know Hunter, who is, I guess he's just the face of all this. I don't see Ari Emanuel doing anything, so Hunter just has to go out there and address this stuff.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that WWE tries to do these press conferences after their pay per views.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a mix of like a work and a shoot. It's a mix of television and reality. And when it hits reality, Triple H doesn't do the best. And I think it's you know, they asked him about Vince a couple months ago, and he was like, I just want to focus on tonight. And I understand why he says that. There's active lawsuits and all of these different things, but it's just a weird...
We swung and missed when he asked him about Brock, too.
Yeah, I was hoping that wasn't real till I actually saw it. I was like, oh, Hunter, come on, man.
Well, look, shout out to AEW, because didn't they start that?
The press conference? Yeah, that's where CM Punk called his coworkers children. And I never related to him more in my life. But yeah.
Who was the other one who did a good one? Was it?
MJF, maybe?
Maybe it was, because I think it was.
What, in AEW?
Yeah, it was the night before. It was in Oakland, because it was the night before they were in Sacramento.
Okay.
And I think, was it MJF? I
thought was Rick, it Ricky?
I was going to say, wasn't it Ricky Starks? Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky had a big night the night before he was with us.
Yeah, and he wasn't even, he was like on the screen. We missed Ricky.
Well, he came out and
Jade
he got his ass whooped.
Jade was on the screen. That's what pissed
Yeah,
us
Jade
off.
Was on the screen. Ricky, I think, got his ass whooped. I don't think he got his ass whooped. He did.
We were so hyped when he came out and all that. And yeah. Then he just gets jumped.
And then I get a text from Doug Christie that says, they're whooping your ass. You want me to come down and help? All right, Doug.
That night was eventful for old D-Lo. Doug Christie texting him.
Well
Reese asking questions.
What's this? What's that mean? No. Don't worry about it, son. It's fine.
Oh, man.
Don't worry about it, nephew.
Good times. I don't think we'll be seeing AEW out here anytime soon.
I don't think so either. And that's okay.
It's fine.
Stay. I mean, you pulled like 80,000 in London. It's fine. Yeah. Like,
stick
do
to
that.
The waterfalls that you're
that's
used
right.
to for right now.
That's
for right now. Then eventually you can do what you need to do. But for right,
right
now, do that. Real quick before we leave wrestling. Did you see? I didn't see this, man. I didn't even know this was out here until yesterday. Did you see that tweet Sid had made?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Man. I didn't see that either.
Whatever.
Sid had asked. He said,
it was like New Year's Day.
Yeah, it was literally less than a year ago. Where he was like, hey, I think he said 2025.
Yeah, he's like, I'm shooting for 2025.
Needs to be the year to go into the Hall of Fame. And I think he wrote Time's Running Out. Mm-hmm. And
he said something like, now that Vince is gone, or yeah, he doesn't hate me, or something like that. Or
like ask my fans, yeah, you know, and he's right.
Basically,
like,
he was like, yo, get me in the Hall of Fame. Basically, he was saying, we didn't
know. I saw a video,
like,
of him talking about that kind of thing.
Basically, while I'm still here, like, I don't have a lot of time.
He's worthy of that. Mm-hmm. Acknowledgement. Again, you headlined 2 WrestleManias. You pointed out how big he was. And I think Shawn Michaels tweeted this yesterday. It's impossible to overstate how important Sid was to the Heartbreak Kid, mm-hmm, because it was Sid, the big nasty heel, that helped turn him babyface. Mm-hmm. And that set in motion the next 11 months of the boyhood dream has come true.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a series of other things that happens with Sid, the 96 Survivor Series into the 97 Royal Rumble from Madison Square Garden into San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's important. And then the 2 WrestleManias.
I saw he was the first. I don't know if it was real. Or he was the first to kick out of the leg drop.
I saw
so
that.
So yeah. He did, but he wasn't supposed to. That was an audible because Papa Shango didn't get there in time. So Papa Shango was supposed
That's
to
crazy. So did Hulk know?
Papa Shango, they knew he wasn't there. So I assume either Hogan or the referee said kick out because they had to end
three,
the match.
Yeah.
So Papa Shango was supposed to get there, interfere, break up the pinfall, everything happened, the Ultimate Warrior returns. Instead, Sid kicks out and they both stand up and stare at each other. And then Harvey Whippleman, I think, is on the outside, and he's like, oh, crap. And he, like, jumps in the ring. He goes at Hogan, and I think Harvey told the story. I was like, I just told Hogan to, like, throw me, like, beat me up, because I don't know what's going on. And then the camera catches Papa Shango, like, looking around, and then he takes off running, and then the angle
that makes so much more sense, because I was watching the video, I was like, huh, everything they say about Hulk Hogan, that's pretty neat. Like, he let Sid Vicious kick out or whatever. Like, wow, like, oh, people really let him get over.
No, the Godfather blew it.
Yeah, now that makes sense.
The Godfather blew it.
I saw the clip of him talking about, I don't know, blank crybaby or whatever. That was hilarious, too.
Nah, the clips are fun.
Come, Brett Crybaby. Yeah, yeah.
The clips are fun around. I saw that one too. That was hilarious. That was some good stuff. Oh, you know what else I saw from wrestling?
God bless it.
I don't know the guy's name. Is it Swerve?
Yeah. The AEW guy?
Yeah, when he walked through the flying knee. Did you see that?
No.
I saw that clip.
Yeah.
That was kind of fire.
I just got sent a clip where he hit the big dude he was wrestling with a spine buster, and the dude just got up. and stared at him. Did you see his outfit? Did you see? Oh, not. It wasn't Swerve's outfit. Whose outfit was it? He had a Michael Jackson.
Snap.
He had a Remember the Time outfit on. I'll send it to you. It was Stokely.
Okay.
Not Swerve. It was Stokely Hathaway. He hit the dude with the spine buster. I'll send you guys the clip right now. It's pretty funny.
Well, yeah, Swerve, he was fighting
Brian.
Yeah. And, you know, he lined up to give him the knee or whatever. And he gave him the knee, got it flush. Swerve goes back into the turnbuckle and then bounces off the turnbuckle and was like, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, what? I was like, oh, that boy bad for that. He bad for that. I ain't never seen that. Okay.
Yeah, that's dope. I like that finisher from Daniel Bryan. Yeah. That's a good move. I'm anxious. I'm curious what they do with Daniel Bryan, because I think he's close to the end. But I'm curious what they do with him, because it might not be far off what they're going to try to do with Cena.
Mm.
But who knows? I don't know. We'll see.
Let me see. Wait a minute. What is this guy? No, go ahead.
It's a crazy thumbnail, huh?
He's dressed like Michael Jackson from Remember the Time.
No, go ahead. Do the show. I'm looking at this. What the?
I hate when I see great AEW wrestlers like Swerve, and I'm like, I wish WWE had messed up.
Nobody just get up. Oh, wait a minute. No, hold on. He ain't going to be happy with this, but I'm going to do it anyway. What do you give me for, what's his name? Sinus? What's his name? Stokely.
Stokely.
What do you give me?
Call that man Sinus.
What do you give me for Stokely and the professor?
Man. Hey, I give you, what's it out of?
10.
Hold on. I give you.
I think that's about 8.
Oh, I give you about an 8.5. I give you about an 8.5. We might have to put that on the screen.
And the professor has about 8.
Jason on later too.
We might have to ask the professor about that one. I don't know. Oh, come on, man. I think this is racist. Nah, I'm 6.5. 6.5.
Oh, man.
Oh, 6.5. Because nothing tops the shocked Undertaker guy.
No. Yeah. Well, he's 10.
Yeah, he's 10.
He's 10.
That might be Jason. Let's call it what it is. That might
be Jason. Not sure. We haven't seen them on a podcast together.
You ever seen Jason put some glasses on?
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.